Oh, it's nice to see each of you again. I missed you. Oh, it feels good to be back, and we welcome new ones with us. Delighted to have you here. And I know we have some people traveling still. Boy, it just feels like coming home, doesn't it, to be with one another. We are very blessed here with fellowship and friendship and, of course, the Lord himself. Jackie, could we have a little more light, please? Thank you. Hope you each did have a very... Thank you. Yes. Hope you had a very special Christmas with family and friends. Mine was probably like maybe many of yours. We had some good times, but there were challenging times also. But fun, Patty and our son Mark and the two kids were here in town. We didn't think for a while that they might be. And they were, so that made it extra special for us and fun. Then my sister and her husband came, and then my brother came. And my brother is a challenge, and but the Lord ordered the time, and he was on his best behavior. But best of all, my sister and I both had some opportunities to have talks with him like we've never been able to talk before. I haven't seen him in 6 years. My husband probably hasn't seen him in 10. But there's always so many people around every time that we are together. It was the last occasions that we saw him were his two weddings. And the second one lasted 2 weeks. So, poor guy. You know, we just hug on him. And it was nice to have him with us. But I delighted in the special times the Lord gave us with him that I hope was healing and insightful and helpful and encouraging to him. So many things to be thankful for. But it was a busy time, wasn't it? You know, it just seems like it's flown. Now we're starting our new session. Look forward to it. As many of you know, our focus this year in class has been strengthening our faith. And this fall, we looked at Fran Schaka's study, To Stand and Not Be Moved, looking at faith lessons from biblical characters' lives that would help encourage and strengthen us. And this session, as you picked up your book back there, I trust, we are studying Dee Breston's Luke, A Woman's Journey Through Luke. And we'll be looking at Jesus. What greater way to strengthen our faith than to just explore who he is, see and knowing that he never changes, to discover truth in perhaps new ways that will establish us in our faith. Luke is a unique book in the Bible. As most think, it's the only book written by a non-Jew in the Bible. He was a Greek, a Gentile, and was a doctor, a physician, interested in science and facts. So he gathered all and presented them to him so that we would know truth, he said. And he, as a doctor, cared about people. So he talked a lot about Jesus' relationships with people and his respect and care for women. He begins his gospel by saying, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us." Luke, in his study and research, knew there were 332 prophecies pertaining to the coming Messiah. And every single one was fulfilled in Jesus. This is exciting. life-changing to realize who Jesus is and that every prophecy was fulfilled, all the longing of the ages, the waiting, the hoping, fulfilled in Jesus. So fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. Truth. How exciting. In his research, interested in facts, studying it, wanting to write an orderly account to present these facts that he and we would know what is truth. And how many have seen Narnia? Here, did you see it over? Wasn't it awesome? One of my favorite parts, my personal favorite scenes, was when the White Witch had made this deal with Aslan, and Aslan offered and agreed to take Edmund's place, and they had arranged a time and a place to meet. And the White Witch, as she's starting to take off in her chariot, she suddenly turns and says, "How can I know you'll keep your promise to meet me there?" And Aslan, representing Jesus as the lion, roars. And she just takes off. Like, how could you even think I wouldn't keep my promise? It's based in his character, who he is, truth, pure, holy. And sometimes I think, you know, how will I know? How do I know? And then I can kind of hear the roar of the lion. He is truth. And how exciting this session to explore who he is and his teachings. And Jesus, to know truth, to firmly establish our faith on it, and draw us more intimately into relationship with him. Exciting. Now, Luke also traveled with the Apostle Paul. And Luke also wrote Acts and presented here a very factual account of the early church. He traveled with Paul, saw the reality of these truths being taught and the power of them. He saw healings and could document them. His life was changed. He was excited. And so he wanted to write these accounts so that we would know this is true. Luke was a humble man as well, because as he was traveling with Paul and writing all these accounts, he just simply said, would insert the "we," just quietly in passing. He didn't say, "I, Dr. Luke, was traveling with the apostle," and just "we." We went here, we went there. This is what God did. Luke was with Paul in the shipwreck towards the end of Acts. We know that encounter, that storm where the Lord just manifested himself. Luke was with Paul. He says, "We went on that ship. We were shipwrecked." This is who Luke is. So as we begin this study and looking at Jesus, that's our prayer, that we too, we would see Jesus. And we would be excited about the truth and the reality of who he is, that he does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, next week, forever. And at the end of time, we see he is worthy of worship because he is who he says he is. So this is what we have before us, this session, to explore as we look at this gospel. And before we begin our introduction to this morning, let's pray. Lord, we praise you that you reveal yourself to us, that you want us to know you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you've drawn each of us here this morning, longing for a closer relationship with each of us. Thank you that you know us completely. You know the needs in our hearts and our lives this morning, and you care. Lord, we ask that you meet us there, and we know that's your heart in drawing us here. So, Lord, we come. And as we open your word and consider these truths, we ask that your Spirit open them to us and stir our hearts. Give us a hunger to know you better. And we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many times if somebody asks what I did over the holidays, I said, I ate. Isn't that what we do? I kind of ate my way from Thanksgiving all the way through New Year's. And I think that's a common experience. And up until Thanksgiving, I try to kind of watch it and be disciplined, restrain myself with snacks and desserts and things. But once Thanksgiving comes, it's up for grabs. And I think, I'm going to enjoy this and indulge myself and chips and dip and all kinds of snacks and goodies. And, you know, most of our family time seem to surround eating a meal. We sit down at Thanksgiving and at Christmas and so on. And it's a wonderful time of fellowship. But now is the moment of truth here. You know, now we have to get back to the reality of needing to be disciplined. And so many times now when we go to lunch, either I will say or I hear somebody say, oh, a pass on dessert. You know, I ate too much over the holidays. I'm still full. And we know that this is a common experience because all the, so many of the programs as we approach the end of the year and start the new, all have to do with being fit. You know, we talk about resolutions and physical fitness, either dieting or exercise. And we evaluate what do we want to do in this new year? What are our goals? And we maybe make some resolutions along that way. And there is another kind of hunger that as we're evaluating fitness and a new beginning with a new year, and that's our spiritual fitness, and that's why we gather here. And as I was thinking about how I can maybe make progress in exercising, I'm needing to exercise more. And you know, it's so easy that time just passes. And I think, now, when was the last time I exercised? You know, it just slips and it's a blur. So I thought, I'm going to get a calendar. And a separate calendar, it has magnets. I'm putting it on the refrigerator. And I'm going to keep track of my physical things that I do. If I take a hike or... Oh, I got something on there. That I can write it down. And so I thought, if I write it down, then I'll see. And I'll see if I skip some days. And having that kind of accountability of writing it and seeing it there is good. It makes me kind of stay with that discipline because I know I've got to write it down. I don't want a blank page there. So I thought, as long as I'm tracking my exercise, my other spiritual hunger is, and what I want to have some, my intention for this new year is to spend more time each day with the Lord. And so I want to track that as well. So I put down my physical exercise in black ink. and my times with the Lord in blue ink, and I can track that to see how well am I doing. Am I spending more time on a daily basis than I have in the past? That's where my hunger is. Yet I've come this morning hungry. Hungry for the Lord. Hungry to go deeper. Hungry to know Him better. So on one hand, I'm restraining myself. On the other, I want to feast. And so I want to track it to see how I'm doing. And that might be a little helpful practical tool for you as well. Or maybe just to start, make sure you do spend time each day. And to see then, to track, well, has it been some days since I've really sat down? It helps, I think, to see it and be able to do that. So what about you this morning? Are you hungry? We have an exciting time here together to pursue this and feed on God's Word and on Jesus Himself. And our hunger will make a difference in how serious we are about pursuing this and taking that time. Hunger is a primary force in all of creation. We see it in the animal world. Hunger is a driving force. They need food. We need food. Lynn Alberti, who was a member of this class till she moved last year, she said they saw, you know, when winter gets severe and then the animals have to start to come down into residential areas, they're looking for food. It's a driving force. She and her husband, they took pictures of this mountain lion had killed a deer, a little deer, right out in their backyard in their little ravine by their house. And then he would cover it up with leaves and that. And then every night he would come back to feed on it a little more, and they had pictures of that. Hunger made it aggressive and to come down and take risks into a residential neighborhood. And then they took pictures. They had bears come up on their deck because they were hungry. They were looking for food and getting into bird feeders. Hunger can be a driving force, and for mankind as well. We know that's a basic need. And we see that when we're physically hungry, we seek food. And when we're emotionally hungry, we can seek food. Hunger, with a lot of different needs, can cause us to seek and drive us in different areas. Our need for self-esteem can drive people to hunger for position or possessions, power. And they can get aggressive in wanting this and being driven for it and working hard. And also, you know, we see this. Remember the day after Thanksgiving, the biggest shopping day of the year? Remember that we saw on the media coverage of the stores that first day, and people would line up all nights in some cases, or from early in the morning to get in Walmart or a store because they hungered for a particular thing. That's what they wanted. They were driven to get it. I think it was the Sony Xbox or something like that was the hot item this year. And they showed pictures on the news of the doors being opened and everybody charging in and people trampled and pushing and everything to get this. We can become aggressive in this hunger for things. Also, a hunger for love can drive people to seek that in some unhealthy relationships. Ruth Graham, I attended the retreat that Woodman had this last weekend, and some of you were there. And it was a wonderful time. And she shared her testimony of her three failed marriages, in spite of people's counsel to her. She was hungry for love and thought a person would be able to fill that. But God in His grace, of course, has met her and refreshed her and restored her and is redeeming that. And she's passing that on to be encouraging to all of us. We see that that God created us with a hunger, not just physical hunger. But this other hunger we have is created in us by Him, for Him. He alone can meet our needs, our deepest hunger within. Yes, He blesses us with friends and family and fellowship. But what's most deeply satisfying to our greatest hunger and needs is Himself. And He did that because of His love for each of us, that He wanted to draw us into that relationship. And He delights in being to us our everything, as we sang this morning. He is our everything and longs for us to experience this more and more. A friend over the holidays had a guest come and stay with her for a few days. And as she was staying in her home, she shared her story with her. And out of her emotional needs as a young girl, she had turned to drugs and alcohol and promiscuous sex and had lived a pretty wild lifestyle, all seeking to have needs met. And she ended up becoming pregnant, had an abortion, then became pregnant again, and decided that she would keep this little girl. And so she was raising her, and the little girl was, as she was growing, this mom continued in this lifestyle. And one day, she said she was walking down the sidewalk, and this voice said to her in her mind, "Could it be God you are looking for?" And she thought it just brought her up short. She said, "I didn't know I was looking for anything, much less God." But it got her thinking. So she began to attend church and found there are people that come around alongside of her and care for her. And she was drawn into receiving Christ as her personal Savior. And then she nurtured that relationship and found that He met her needs for love. And He brought healing and some wholeness. And she has just blossomed and excited to see that it was Jesus that she needed and hungered for and longed for. Now, Jesus' words to us in Luke, we're going to key off of one of the verses in Luke 6:21 this morning, where Jesus says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Blessed are you when you hunger, for you will be satisfied. Matthew, in 5:6, he writes it as, "Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you will be filled." I like those. Again, the words of Jesus encourage us to, in our hunger, to hunger for Him, and we will be satisfied. Now, Jesus is our righteousness. When Matthew says, "hunger and thirst for righteousness," Jesus is our righteousness. This is an Old Testament and New Testament truth in Jeremiah 33:16. He's saying that the Lord's name is the Lord our righteousness. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:30 talks about Jesus. And he says, Jesus is our wisdom, our sanctification, our righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Not only in being made right and his character of righteousness, but he himself, as he indwells us, sums it all up. And he says, blessed are you when you hunger for Jesus, for you will be satisfied. And Matthew says, we will be filled with him in our emptiness, filled with all that he is, with the fullness of God. And Paul in Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 in his prayer, he prays that we would know Christ and know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Awesome. Unbelievable. How exciting. He wants to pour himself out to us and fill us with himself. He wants to meet us in his love and bring healing to hurts and satisfy our deepest longings and needs in the deepest and richest way possible. So we need to ask him to increase our hunger. This is his heart. Or if we find this morning that we've kind of plateaued and we're really not hungering, we're really kind of content and satisfied where we are, we know him, and that's good. Ask him to stir a hunger, a new hunger as we begin this new year. A hunger to know him better, to grow closer. Ask him to increase that in us, that it become this longing, a hungering for him that he promises he will meet. Blessed are you when you hunger for him. You will be satisfied. Jesus also speaks of that in another way in Luke, and he says, everyone who seeks finds. This is his heart. This is why he came, as we celebrated over Christmas, his coming. He sacrificed in coming, and he sacrificed on the cross. As we hunger for him and desire him and long for him, it is his delight to pour himself out to us, that we would know him better. So it would encourage you, as I am encouraging myself, to spend greater lengths of time seeking him, longing for him, pursuing him. You know, when people want something, we're willing to wait and to sacrifice. If we want it badly enough, we saw that at the Rose Bowl parade last week. People camped out for days ahead in the rain and through the night to get a good spot for the parade. That's how badly they wanted it. They were willing to take the time and make the sacrifices for a parade spot. How badly do we really want to know Jesus better? He is the treasure. He is what life is about. The relationship with him is eternal. How badly do we want it? Are we willing to sacrifice for knowing him better, getting up early or in the night, seeking after him, keeping the TV off, drawing apart, hungering for him and telling him, Lord, I'm hungering for you. Feed me. Hungering. We sacrifice. Sometimes we just become impatient. We encourage to persevere, because some of those treasures that he has for us of himself, he doesn't throw out lightly. They're too precious. So he desires to see, how badly do you really long for me? And as we persevere, he says, wait, be patient, keep seeking. Because he will meet us, and he's worth it. Sometimes, you know, today in our society, we are so used to not waiting. We get frustrated if we have to wait. And so too many times maybe we go seeking after the Lord and we're blocking out times and then nothing seems to happen. And we give up. And the enemy might come in and whisper, well, that was a waste of time, wasn't it? Look at all the things you could have gotten done if you'd been out there doing something. We think, well, yeah, that's true. Here's my whole list. He says, hunger, and we will be satisfied. He's precious. And there are deeper levels that he longs to take us. More of himself he longs to reveal. A greater intimacy that he desires with us. Exciting. Persevere. In our impatience, I noticed even this morning I went to the bank, to the ATM. And it's great now to have those ATMs, isn't it? We can just whip right in there, punch some buttons, get some money, and out we go. But I noticed a few months ago that now they've even made it faster. You don't have to push three buttons. You can push one. You can get fast cash, and you just push that, and you can get out faster. And the other day, my husband and I were driving down Mesa, and that stoplight over there by King, we had the green light, and we were zipping down Mesa, and this car over there had the red light. All of a sudden, zip, turns left out right in front of us. He got tired of waiting for the light to change. You know, and I think, you know, that's our society. We don't want to wait. I want it now. And that's the temptation, you know, spiritually. See, if we aren't seeing results immediately, visible, tangible, we give up too quickly, too easily, and we miss out. Pursue. Hunger. The Lord will honor that. And he delights to meet us as we do. And his spirit works very quietly. Often we're not seeing the work that he is doing. He promises in James 4:8, if we draw near to God, he draws near to us. This is his heart, his delight. And so we realize often in retrospect, as we look over time, he's been at work. I am changing. I wasn't quite as impatient this Christmas as I've been. God's been at work, imparting his character to me, his patience, filling me more with himself. He's at work. As we feed on him and his word, he promises to take that and work those truths and realities in us. One time in a real hard time in my life when I was struggling in my faith, I kept saying, you know, what is truth? And I would read and seek and would go a long time. There seemed to be nothing. Then all of a sudden there would be a little treasure. I thought, oh, I'm so glad. And my faith would be stronger. Or in that, there wouldn't seem to be anything, but yet I found my faith getting stronger. And I thought, how is that happening? It's quiet. But it's a work of God's Spirit that is real in us. So as we ask and we seek and we hunger and we're spending time with him, he says he will do it. Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord, as we spend that time with him, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He is at work. So as we spend that time, he is faithful to do that in us, strengthening our faith, revealing who he is, drawing us closer. And then we find he is the treasure. He is worth sacrificing for. He is worth pursuing. So we see, as we start our lessons this time, let's not just put that down as one of the things to do on our list. Whip through it. Think, good, can check that off and move on to the next. Would encourage each of us to spend time, to approach it as being on holy ground. We go to the Gospels and look at Jesus and study his word. Say, Lord, feed me. May I see Jesus. May I know you better. Open your word to me. Feed me. Nurture this relationship. And just as, you know, our stomachs can get stretched with eating, with food, our spirits can be enlarged as we feed on him. Exciting truths. Ask him to enlarge our spirits, our capacity for him. Tozer writes of this, and he actually quotes Dr. A.B. Simpson. He said he used an illustration that he really likes. He said, being filled with the fullness of God is like a bottle in the ocean. Take the cork out of the bottle and sink it in the ocean, and you have a bottle completely full of the ocean. The bottle is in the ocean, and the ocean is in the bottle. The ocean contains the bottle, but the bottle contains only a little bit of the ocean. So it is with the Christian. He gives us all of himself, just like all of the ocean is, you know, all of its composition is in that bottle. But the ocean's so vast. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And he desires to fill us with himself, and as we talked about. And Tozer says, we are filled unto the fullness of God, but of course we cannot contain all of God because God contains us. But we can have all of God that we can contain. If we only knew it, we could enlarge our vessel. The vessel gets bigger and bigger as we go on with God. And this prayer then recorded here, enlarge my vessel, Lord, and fill me with more and more of the fullness of yourself. Enlarge our spirits, enlarge our vessel, to be able to be more filled with more of you, Lord. We experience this expanding capacity if you have children. You know, when we first fall in love, we think, oh, you know, I love to the max. I can't love anymore. And then perhaps we discover a child is on the way, or we desire to adopt a child, and we think, oh, will I be able to love this child I already love so much? And then as we, of course, as if give birth and that baby is placed in our arms, or we're adopted and we welcome them into our arms, we find immediately that love for this child. I remember when our Scott was born. Oh, I loved him so much. Couldn't stand it. Just overflowing. I felt I was going to burst. And then Reed was going to come along, and then Mark after that. And I thought, oh, will I be able to love another? I just feel like I love Scott so much to the full. And then, of course, you know, as another one comes, our capacity for love is expanded. Oh, we love that child so much. And we think, whoa, he expands our capacity to love. And it's the same with the Spirit. Our spirit's enlarged to be filled more with Him. And I have this little balloon. You know, it's like that at first. You know, He breathes His Spirit into us. You know, and as we grow, our capacity for Him, our spirits enlarge, and He breathes more of Himself in us, more of Himself in more of us. It's still His fullness. More. Lord, enlarge my spirit. Breathe more of your spirit in me. Expand my capacity for you. Okay, now watch out for the noise. Exciting. We have a lifetime to grow, to be enlarged, to grow deeper, to experience more of His fullness in us and through us. So that's the challenge for 2006. That's my prayer. Do you want to make that your prayer too? And if we come and we're hungering and we're seeking, let's ask God for an outpouring of His Spirit to us. And let's just watch the depths to which we can grow and the heights to which we can soar and the delight of His presence that we will experience. He has brought us together. He desires to meet us. Let's come hungry and see what He does as we turn to His Word. And there are so many benefits for us. Our joy gets fuller. Our peace is deeper, greater. You know, if you've noticed, those who know God the best have the greatest amount of peace and joy. They just exude God's Spirit. And then it impacts the home and relationships because we are filled with the fullness of God. All that He is indwells us and flows, impacts others. And of course, the richness for us is really knowing Christ. And we get to know Him better and better. And that's why our joy increases. That's why our peace is greater. Because of who He is. And He can be trusted. So then, as I said, it impacts others as well. And not only do they reap some of the benefits and the results, but also it creates in them a hunger for the Lord. And this is what the Lord desires. Watchman Nee, in his book, The Normal Christian Life, speaks to this. And he says, perhaps you have prayed that the Lord would use you in your touch with others to impart God, the presence of God, the sense of God. And God will begin to use you to create this hunger in others. People will scent Christ in you. The first thing for which He sets us here is to create in hunger others a hunger for Him. Everybody has a hunger. And as we said, it can only be satisfied in Him. And He created us that we be drawn to Him. And He can meet that hunger in our needs. So He desires for us to be those instruments of creating a hunger in others that will draw them to Him. It says hunger has to be created and can be created in others only by those who carry with them the impressions of God. This isn't anything that we do. We're not even aware of it, most likely. It's His presence in us. His presence touching others. His Spirit at work. If we just move in our day in His presence, yielding to Him, nurturing that relationship, hunger is created. Others come to know Him. Many of you met my sister at the retreat this fall at Glen Eyrie. She was impacted by being with you all. She sensed Christ. And she realized she wants to know Him better, like you all do. She'd been growing, but she's busy, and it just was part of this. But she began, that hunger began to become a drive in her. And so she asked me to hold her accountable, to spend lengths of time every day before she goes to work with the Lord. She hungered for Him. That was created in her by being with us. She wants to know Him too, in a better way. She wants to grow closer. So we email. Did you have your time today? Where'd you read? And she's seen the effects of it at work and some challenges there. It's getting more patient with people. It's Jesus in her. So He invites us in our hunger. Spend more time, feed on Him more fully. Intentionalize pursuing Him. He promises when we hunger, we'll be blessed, for we will be satisfied with Him. And then another result, another benefit, is that it delights the Lord. He hungers. He hungers for you. He hungers for a closer relationship with you. It delights Him when your heart is stirred and you long for this too, and you intentionalize spending time, blocking protected times to be with Him. It delights Him. It's His pleasure to meet us and take us deeper into Himself. So He says, blessed are you who hunger, for you will be satisfied. This is the anticipation we have now as we begin this session. As we fix our eyes on Jesus and long to know Him better. He is delighted. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it's amazing that we can delight Your heart as we hunger for You. Lord, stir in us a greater hunger, a deeper desire to know You better, to block out more periods of time, to be with You, to enjoy You, to savor You, to hunger for You. And Lord, we pray You would feed us with Your very self, that You would satisfy this hunger with drawing us closer to You, opening our eyes that we would know You better, establishing us in faith in You as You reveal Yourself to us, that You are good, that You do love us so totally, completely, unconditionally. You desire to deepen the relationship with all of us here. Thank You, Lord. And so now as we begin these sessions, we say we want to see Jesus. We are hungry, Lord. We come to feed on You today. We ask that You continue to meet us by Your Spirit and take us deeper into Yourself for our joy, the impact on others, the furthering of Your kingdom, and Your delight. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.